And in the middle of the passage that we just read, we read some strange verses that this people's heart is waxed gross and they're not going to hear what you say. And it's referring to the nation of Israel. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is a period of time that this is happening, this kingdom that's being talked about. It refers to the times of the Gentiles when Israel has lost its political ascendancy over the nations. It happened way back in Babylon in 606 BC when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he saw all, and it's obviously it's too much for us to get into, but you read it in Daniel chapter 2. He talked about these four great kingdoms that would come up, and that last kingdom would be that kingdom of Rome, that revived Roman Empire. And during that time, Israel had lost its ascendancy, as we said, but also world power would go into Gentile hands. It culminated with the destruction of Jerusalem, and one day we'll finish with what's called the tribulation period. But also, not only do we have the times of the Gentiles that these kingdom parables are talking about, but we have what's called the fullness of the Gentiles, which is the end of the time. Those of you that are what I would call 401 students, senior high, you've been in church a little while. This is what we know as the church age. From Pentecost to raptures, that fullness of the time. And it starts with Israel's rejection of the king. You can read about it in Luke chapter 19 with the parable of the pounds. And it begins here with the kingdom postponed. And oh, it's such a great study how Jesus postponed his kingdom. He postponed his dealings with Israel. And through that, the church was birthed and Gentiles were saved. Aren't you glad that Gentiles can be saved? Amen. I sure am. I'm not Jewish. Amen. I met a Jehovah's Witness one time. They were out talking and spreading their garbage is what it is. And they said, I said to them, where are you going to be during the tribulation time? They said, well, I'm going to be 100 of the 100. Well, I'm going to be one of the 144,000. And Brother Sammons, I said, which tribe are you from? Are you from the tribe of Benjamin or Levi? Which tribe are you from? Because those are Jewish evangelists during the tribulation. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Amen. We have this fullness of the Gentiles, and really what has happened in the fullness of the Gentiles is the custodianship of truth has gone from the Jew to the church. You see, it's the church's responsibility to propagate the truth of God. But thank God that God is not done with Israel. Amen. There's that tribulation time, that time of Jacob's trouble where God is going to deal with that one that has rejected him. But what I'm trying to say here is when you read passages like that in that column, verses 13, 14, 15, it's dealing with the nation of Israel. It's not saying that some people can't be saved. That's what some people take it as. Your Calvinist friends. They say, see that? They can't be saved. No, no, no. He's dealing with the nation of Israel for their rejection of him. And the kingdom is the theme of these seven parables. You can read them on your own. And they show how things are developing now during the king's absence. And then can I say this? This period of time, it seems to be marked by failure. It seems that God's plans and God's purposes are being constantly resisted and sometimes overthrown. But can I say this? Be not dismayed. God is still God. God is still in control. God is still sovereign. God is still working. And He is still unfolding His perfect will. The text we read, it's known as the parable of the sower. Some have called it the parable of the soils, and it lends itself to a very simple outline this morning. If you keep notes, we have the sower, the seed, and the soils. If you would, look back to verses 3 and 4 of Matthew chapter 13. Number 1, we see a sower. It says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, when he had sowed. And the illustration here is obviously a farming illustration. For reasons known only to God himself, he chooses not to reveal the identity of this mysterious sower. Perhaps it was because, as a writer named A.W. Pink wrote, a little child may drop seed as effectively as a man. The wind may carry it and accomplish as much through as though an angel had planted it. The mysterious sower. Can we say some things about sowing? Sowing requires diligence. You've got to be diligent if you're going to sow a crop. It requires devotion. You're going to have to till up some soil, amen? You're going to have to take the time to get the rocks out of there. Those of you that are gardeners in our church know you can't love flowers without hating weeds. Amen? You got to pull some weeds. You got to take some time. It requires diligence and devotion, but also it requires good old-fashioned determination. I want to have a crop. I want to see a crop. Sowing is just plain old-fashioned discipline, hard work, and all God's people said. So, this person, whoever they are, they're a sower and they sow seed. There are several sowers in the Bible. God is likened to a sower in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27. Jesus later here, in verse 37 of our text, is called a sower. It says, He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus Christ is a sower. Can I say this? Christian leaders are sowers. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And something else, all of God's children are to be sowers. Psalm chapter 126, verses 5 and 6 says, They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? Every Christian should make it a priority to be a sower, and may we stop being soil inspectors and being seed sowers. Well, this person's not going to receive it. You don't know that. Can I tell you one of the greatest things about getting saved later in life and coming out of a life of wickedness is I don't fear wicked people. And I'll tell you what, you see the guy, he's got the ear expanders. He looks like Dumbo. You ever seen those? They put those things in their ears and it literally just stretches them out. And he looks like he fell into a tackle box. He's pierced here, there, everywhere. I mean, he just got stuff everywhere. Some people are like, man, I go right up to that guy and just start talking to him. Not that you're that guy, Keith, amen. But I go right up to that guy and start talking to him. And you know what you'll find many times? They're some of the nicest people you'll ever talk to. But the reason we don't talk to them is because we're soil inspectors. I'm going to bend my ear clear over to my other eye if you don't say amen. Of course, we inspect the soil. We're supposed to be sowing the seed. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, we always quote that in the negative. But can I say it's in the positive too, ladies and gentlemen? If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says. So we see the sower. Number two, I want you to look at, if we could, the seed. The seed. Look at verse number 4. It said, And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. You say, Pastor, what is this seed that the mysterious sower is sowing in this parable? Well, it is none other, ladies and gentlemen, than the wonderful Word of God. You say, where is it? Matthew 13:19 calls it the Word of the Kingdom. Mark 4:14 says, The sower soweth the Word. And Luke 8:12 clears it all up. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, why should we be sowers of the seed? Because this is living and powerful. For the Word of God is quick. That word means alive. It's living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. That's the seed we sow. Our seed is life-giving. Man, in his regular condition from birth, is born spiritually dead. He needs to be born again, and all God's people said. We say, what can accomplish that? The Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Why should we be sowers of the seed? Why should we carry gospel tracts? Amen. Why should we put them in our bills and pass them out everywhere we go and talk to people about Jesus Christ? Why? Because the Word of God gives life. Gives life. The Word of God is soul-saving. James 1:21 says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the seed that we need to be sowing. Not the seed of conservatism. Amen? Listen, I'm conservative. I'm glad. I'd rather stay 8 feet away from the cliff and not fall off than be liberal and get close to the cliff and fall off. Amen? I'm liberal in my giving. Amen? And I like to hear an amen from the crowd on that. Amen? But listen, it's not conservatism that we need to be sowing the seeds of. Let the talk radio people do that. Amen? It's not the seeds of morality. It's not the seeds of the Second Amendment. It's not the seeds of patriotism or social help or political reform. And I'm for all those things. This is the seed we need to be sowing. This is the only seed which can give life. What is it that tames the cannibal? The Word of God. What is it that will quench someone's burning thirst for vengeance? The Word of God. What is it that can cure the drunkard? By the way, there is no cure for the alcoholic. There's a cure for the drunkard, though. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. What can reform the slum? What can birth morality? What can convince someone to not have an abortion? It's the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. And we need to be sowing it. Sowing it. We see the sower. We see the seed. And I'm going to spend most of my message this morning on the soils. There are four types of soils that are listed here. Three of them are problem soils. One of them is a productive soil. I wonder if we could look, number one, at the first problem soil. We see the waywardness of some hearers. Look at verse number 4, if you would. We see the waywardness of some hearers. And to that, we attach the statement, no results. The waywardness of some hearers, no results. Verse 4 says, and when he had sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. If you go down to 19, verse 19, we get the interpretation from Jesus. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So these wayside people, these waywardness of some hearers, and by the way, these people are in every church. These are the people, some of them sit in church week after week after week, and they say in their heart, Brother Horsch, I don't believe that. I don't believe what he's saying. I don't agree with that. I don't need that. I don't want to give that up. They're hard-hearted. And because their hearts are hard, the birds of the devil snatch the seed and they never dwell on it again. Listen, I'm glad. One of the things I'm glad about is I am glad, ladies and gentlemen, that when I got saved, I got the Holy Spirit of God, and I got under something called conviction. And can I say this? Let me just back up. Before I got saved, Brother Hancock, I got under conviction that I needed to be saved. But afterwards, the Holy Spirit started working on me about things in my life that He knew were not pleasing to Him. I'm going to tell you, a little bit, Brother Jenkins, it's a little annoying, actually. I was like, you got anything else to do? Is there anybody else to speak to except me? And of course, I'm not being irreverent. I'm just telling you how I felt at the time. The Holy Spirit was working on me. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, these hard-hearted people, these wayward people, one of the worst things in the world is for the Holy Spirit to ever leave you alone. You better check yourself out. The Holy Spirit just doesn't say anything to you ever. You may have that hard heart where you've hardened yourself to what He has to say. These people, they hear the message and they've refused it. And I say this, Brother Merrill, they're the watch checkers. I'll be up here preaching. You don't get to see what I see. I can see lots of great things, amen. But these are the watch checkers. They do this. They're the yawners. I mean, you're just, you know, they might as well fold their arms like this and say, go ahead and try to bless me. That's this hard-hearted crowd. Now, if you check your watch, please, I'm not keeping my eye on you. I'm not saying you're hard-hearted. Sometimes you just want to know when I'm going to be done, amen. I'll tell you when I'm going to be done. I'll be done when I'm done, amen. But they could tell you every football score and every baseball statistic, and I'm not against any of those things. I'm a baseball nut. They could tell you every March Madness winner, but they couldn't tell you what the preacher preached last Sunday. They're hard-hearted. They're wayward. I believe in our good, independent, fundamental, temperamental, premillennial, hellfire and brimstone Baptist churches are filled with wayside hearers. This doesn't have any effect on them. Just hitting the ground and the birds come and get it. They've never been born again. The wayward ones. Not only do we see the waywardness of some hearers, and that is no results, but we see the weakness of some hearers, and that is no roots. Look, if you would, at verses 5 and 6 of our text. Verses 5 and 6. It says, some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Now down to verses 20 and 21, we get the interpretation. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he which heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. That's an old word, means right away. Right away they hear it, and with joy receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. The weakness of some hearers. We have not only the waywardness of some hearers, no results, but we have the weakness of some hearers, and they have no roots. They have no roots. They start out with great zeal, Brother Curry. They start out like a house of fire. They really do. They come and they make a profession of faith and they start attending everything. They may even start bringing people with them. But they're what I call sparkler Christians, Brother Boston. You ever had to see, my dad used to blow off firecrackers on the 4th of July. Anybody else blow off firecrackers on the 4th of July? My dad used to get a brick. Amen. And he wasn't one of those kind of guys that we take a few off and throw them. It was like the whole brick, baby. Amen. And all the dogs in the neighborhood were running in circles and all that. But when I was a kid, it was just we had sparklers. We couldn't have the brick, Brother Horsh. Amen. We got that story of, hey, you'll end up like this. Amen. And you'll blow your hand off the way your father. But we got sparklers. You know what a sparkler does? It's beautiful for about 10 seconds. Amen. When we were kids, we're like, I don't want a sparkler. I want an M80. Amen. Some Christians are that way, though, aren't they? They're sparklers. They lots of sparkle and lots of this, but you know when you get to the end of sparkle, you know what's left? Nothing. It's an ash. That's all it is, just ashes. And they're these ones, these weak hearers that have no roots, they're like sparklers. Because they have no roots, they can only endure until problems come along. The key to a tree, ladies and gentlemen, is not its beautiful leaves. And I love, listen, I love fall. I love Michigan in the fall, Uncle Walt, amen. I love fall. I love the leaves, amen. Love the changing of the colors, but that's not the key to a tree. The key to a tree is not its outstretched branches. Though I praise the Lord for them, I won't come fall, Brother Pipko, because I saw all those trees I had in my yard, and I looked and said, you know, all those leaves are coming off, amen. All those branches will be down in my yard. It's not the majestic trunk of the tree that is the key to the tree. What is it, ladies and gentlemen? It is the roots. the roots. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, how we ought to root ourselves in the Word of God. That when tribulation and trial comes, we can say, I believe God. I'm not going to walk away from God. He's not walked away from me. But these are weak hearers. They walk away. They're weak. Look what it says in verse 21. It says, when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the Word, by and by he's offended. He's offended. He's a weak hearer. Then we see something else. We see the waywardness of some hearers, no results. We see the weakness of some hearers, no roots. And then we see the worldliness of some hearers, no resistance. Look at verse number 7, if you would. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And then if you jump down to verse number 22. He that also receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. These are people that have received the word of God. They've received it. And then they get swept up into the world and forget about God. Are these people saved? I believe they are. I believe they are. There are some people that I've read all kinds of commentaries. Some people have said only one in this group is saved, and I don't know about that. I think this group is saved. I've known some worldly Christians. I've known some carnal Christians. How about the church at Corinth? That's a pretty carnal church, amen? But here, these are people that have received the word, and then they get swept up in the world, and they forget that God rescued them from the pits of hell. The first thing that sweeps them up is the problems of life. Verse 22 calls it the care of this world. Can I say this, that Christians and lost people have trouble? Some people think when you get saved, it's going to be like Oklahoma. Everything's going my way. Sorry, wrong church. Sorry. Wrong Bible, amen. Sometimes, praise the Lord, you know what is going your way? You're going to heaven when you die, amen. That's number one. But, you know, problems just don't go away because you got saved. Sometimes we have to reap a long time what we sow in our years of youth, and all God's people said. The Bible says that He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Christians have children that die, amen. Christians have children that die. Christians have floods. Christians have car wrecks. Christians have roof leaks and job loss and cancer. And Christianity is not a safety blanket from problems. However, we do have the Lord to help us to get through those problems that the lost world doesn't have. But this, the problems of life, they spring up and they choke the seed and it becomes unfruitful. The problems of life. Something else in our text. We see the prosperity of life can be a thorn that chokes the word. What's it say there? The deceitfulness of riches. We all need money to live, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody said to me this morning, I think it was Brother Tom, said, man, it's cool in here. I said, praise God, amen. Praise God, it's enough for a nice cool auditorium in the summer and a warm auditorium in the winter. But you know what it takes? Money. It takes money. You see, but some people are deceived by the deceitfulness of riches. They're deceived by the love of money, which the Bible says is the root of all evil. These are people that aren't willing to tithe or give to missions or help the church with special offerings or lay up treasures in heaven, but they got money for that boat. Come on. They got money for that hunting cabin. They got money for that third house that they don't need. Don't have any money for God, but got money for the pleasures and prosperity of life. And they love what money gives them. Money gives them status and prestige and things. And by the way, God is not against you having money. God's against money having you. That is the deceitfulness of riches. Some allow the prosperity of life to choke the seed of the Word of God. Well, I can't be at church. I gotta do things. Gotta take care of that fourth house. Gotta take care of this or that. That's the prosperity of life choking the word. And they become unfruitful. They love and lust for more than money more than they do for God. The third thing, and it's not in our text, but it is in a cross reference that we see that chokes the word, not only the problems of life and the prosperity of life, but the pleasures of life. And Mark 4:19 calls it the lusts of other things. Some people just have to have. And it's called covetousness, ladies and gentlemen. And it's not a sin that you'll hear in your cotton candy hour-long church services. But you do hear it in old-fashioned churches. Covetousness, God said, it's idolatry. Don't worry about keeping up with the Joneses or the Smiths or whoever. Listen, just be a good steward of what God has given you. But this is so. They're choked with thorns. They lust after the pleasures of other things, the pleasures of life. In North Africa, natives have an easy way to capture monkeys. A gourd with a hole just sufficiently large so that a monkey can thrust his hand into it is filled with nuts and fastened firmly to a branch of a tree at sunset. During the night, the monkey will discover the scent of the food and its source and will put his hand into the gourd and grasp the handful of nuts. But the hole is too small for the monkey to withdraw his clenched fist, and he has not sense enough to let go of his bounty so that he may escape. Thus he pulls and pulls and pulls without success, and when morning comes, he is quickly and easily taken. A lot of Christians are that way. You know what? You ought to just let go of the nuts and get your hand out of there. But no, you just have to have, and the devil traps them. And it chokes the word that it becometh unfruitful. Some allow the pleasures of life to choke the seed of the word of God from bearing fruit in their lives. So those are the problem soils. We have the waywardness, no results. We have weakness, no roots. We have worldliness, no resistance in the problems of life and prosperity of life and pleasures of life. They choke the word. But then we have the productive soil. And that is the willingness of some hearers. And they bear fruit. Look at it with me, if you would. Verse number 8. Verse number 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And the interpretation is in verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. And by the way, those words heareth the word are in all four groups. Everybody heard it. Nothing wrong with the seed. Amen? Nothing wrong with the seed. It's the word of God. But he heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. The willingness of some hearers, and that is they bear fruit. They bear fruit. Some people, according to our text, we see marginal development. It says some 30, verse 23. They love the Lord. Praise the Lord. We all love the Lord. Amen. He loves us whether we love Him or not, but we all love Him back. But they love the Lord. They love God's Word. They love God's people, but perhaps it's an incomplete surrender. They just choose not to go all the way for God. But they do bear some fruit, and thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for some 30-fold fruit bearers that we've seen. We see that marginal development. But then we see some marked development. It says, in some 60. These are your Sunday school teachers. These are the people that give over and above the tithe. These are people that love missionaries and they stand behind their pastor and they serve God with all they have, with joy, and they bear more fruit. Then we have the marginal development and the marked development. Then you have, occasionally, ladies and gentlemen, we see that person that God allows us to see and some to be, that we see marvelous development. We see this incredible transformation in this person's life. And these are the soul winners. These are people that are after people. They listen, their goal is to bear fruit. Their goal is to bear much fruit. These are your hundredfolders. These are the kind of people you see, and obviously we don't compare ourselves amongst ourselves, but you see someone and you say, wow, what a work God did in their life. Wow. Praise God for fruit bearing. I just tell you this, and I'm almost done. Our application today is this. We've gone through the parable. We've looked at each one of these. We've seen the sower and the seed and the soils, and we've seen the problem soils, and we've seen the productive soil. My question to you today is, what kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you? Are you a problem soil? Is it possible that there is somebody at Loomis Park Baptist Church whose membership is on the rolls here, but you're not on the rolls of heaven? You're a wayward here. Refused and refused and refused and refused and refused. Is it possible that there's a member of Loomis Park Baptist Church that is a weak here, that is has no roots, no time in the Word of God, no time in prayer, has not put its roots down in God? Is it possible? What kind of hearer are you? Is it possible that there are some worldly hearers here at Loomis Park Baptist Church? You just have no resistance to the things of the world. When those thorns have sprung up, you have no desire to guard them out of your life. You just let them come and choke the word. Is that possible? Is it possible that we have some hearers here that are willing hearers? That, hey, you want to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. What kind of soil are you? You know, the wonderful thing is, it's not preordained that you die and go to hell. You can do something about it. I believe that. I read this passage. It's not preordained. See, you may be that weak here, that a little stony. You know what you can do? Praise God, is you can get out the sledgehammer of God's Word and you can break up that stone and start tilling the ground so you can be bearing fruit. Hey, if you've got some thorns and some weeds, you know what you can do? You can put your leather gloves on, your spiritual leather gloves, and start pulling those weeds out of your life. Start getting some things out of there that are choking the Word of God in your life. What kind of ground? I know this, Brother Sammons, I know what kind of ground I want to be. I want to be that willing ground. I want to be. But sometimes, just like you, I get weeds in my garden. I get some stones. Oh, God would help us today that we'd have the idea, what kind of, we'd be able to take a look. You know, the Bible is called a mirror. Amen? It's called a glass in James. We behold our face in the glass. And I'll tell you what happens is, sometimes we don't like what we see in the mirror, so we change the mirror instead of the man. And you know how it is, you go to the fun house, if you're on the heavy side, you go to the fun house, you go to the mirror that makes you look skinny. If you're on the skinny side and you'd like to be a little heavier, you go in the fun house, it makes you look a little heavier. Listen, this is where people get into changing the versions, changing the words, changing all kinds of doctrine. Listen, let's just change the man. Let's be honest, look into the mirror, be honest about what we see, and let's just change the man. God gives us the ability to do that. Maybe you're here today and you're one of those wayward hearers. You are not saved and you know it. You say, what do you mean by that? Ask yourself this question. If you died today, would you go to heaven or hell? If there's doubt, you don't know, listen to me. God wants you to know. Say amen, church. God wants you to know. You don't have to be a wayward hearer that the devil comes and snatches that out of you. You can listen and understand and believe that Jesus Christ loves you and He died for you. What kind of ground are you today? What kind of ground? Are you? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.